Genesis chapter 3. Chapter 3 is commonly called the fall of man. What that means is that Adam and Isha, the woman as she is referred to, became disobedient and committed the first sin. Chapters 1 and 2 tell us that man was a living being created in a perfect state and was created in the image and likeness by the Almighty Perfect Elohim. Have you studied chapter 2, and do you remember the tree of life and also the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? Eating from the tree of life means living forever, and eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil can mean death forever. It can be physical death and spiritual death. They actually chose death over life through disobedience, talking about Adam and Isha. People continue in the same fashion today. We need to see the contrast between the Creator and us as His special creation in His image and likeness. Elohim is self-existent, as I covered in chapter 1. Man is not self-existent since he is created by Elohim. Man was originally perfect before he disobeyed Elohim and sinned against him and himself. And he has to always depend on Elohim for his very existence. One thing we really need to be aware of is that Elohim did not duplicate himself by creating another Elohim in the process of creating mankind. It says he created us in his image and likeness, as we read in chapters 1 and 2. But that does not mean we are the same as our Creator. Plainly stated, we are not gods. God was and is never looking for a superior being like himself. Being created in His image and likeness is somewhat mysterious to us since we do not have the full knowledge and wisdom of God our Creator. I can say we now need to appreciate what He has done for us by giving us life even in a mortal body that can no longer last forever. We find that Adam and Isha, and she is referred to as a woman before she gets her name from Adam as Havva, not Eve in English, were to live forever. We definitely have an intellect far above the rest of God's creation. We also have built into each of us from the original creation of Adam a consciousness of God, and unfortunately many like to suppress and ignore it to the point of complete denial of God's very existence, as in Romans 1. We are given emotions, high level of intelligent speech, a unique personality, but we also have morals and law that come from our Creator. We are fashioned with a body, soul, and spirit. Animals and other created beings may have only a body and soul, no spirit. The spirit in us makes us special since God is a spirit. Lower forms of life that don't have a spirit don't obey the Ten Commandments. We will see in this chapter the consequences for eating of the tree of the knowledge and good and evil is to die. Satan is already condemned to eternal death, and that we can read in Revelation. He will ultimately be cast into the lake of fire for eternity. Since man is to die a physical death, now what about avoiding the spiritual death? The origin of salvation by grace is clearly stated in this chapter, and untold millions have completely ignored this. Adam and Eve surely are in paradise or heaven because their sin was forgiven. Pay particular attention how this was accomplished because it all started here in chapter 3. Just because you can read about God's forgiveness and redemption in many places throughout Scripture, can you answer how it all started? I sincerely hope and pray you will have that solid answer after properly studying this chapter. It is called the Fall of Man. In this chapter 3, it is revealed that Adam and Isha want independence from our Creator God to the point of trying to be as God Himself. That is the same thing Lucifer, who is later called Satan, tried to do in heaven. He tried to take over God's throne and failed miserably. Again, that is another case of a created being in the form of an angel trying to make himself as God. Chapter 3 shows how he tried and succeeded to make Adam and Isha believe the lie of becoming gods themselves. Of course, he would not have succeeded if Adam and Eve weren't so eager to follow in his footsteps. The lure of wanting to be a god is very strong today and has always been strong since the beginning of creation. That can be New Age. Chapter 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more crafty than any beast in the field which Yahweh Elohim had made. And he said to the woman, Indeed, as Elohim said, you shall not eat from any tree of the garden. Chapter 3 starts off with mentioning the crafty serpent. Satan, originally called Lucifer or Angel of Light, took the form of a serpent while he was in the Garden of Eden. The meaning of crafty is defined as clever at achieving one's aims or goals by indirect or deceitful methods. This serpent is identified as Satan in his already fallen state by being called crafty. This means to me that Satan had already committed the first sin before man sinned. We are getting ready to read what the scripture has to say about Satan. The first verse reveals to us that the serpent is simply casting doubt of God's word into the mind of Isha, the woman commonly called Eve in English. This is what Satan does to us today, tries to make us doubt the very word of God. That is the first thing he does. Did God really say that? Satan is a serpent in verse 1, but look at other names for him. In Revelation 12:9, so the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Was the serpent in the Garden of Eden really Satan? A quick look at Ezekiel 28:13. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering. The sardius, topaz, and diamond, beryl, onyx, and jasper, sapphire, turquoise, and emerald with gold. The workmanship of your timbrels and pipes was prepared for you on the day you were created. The serpent must have been very beautiful to look at and enchanting, as we saw in Ezekiel 28. He apparently was able to make himself very appealing to Isha, and she was not afraid of him. Satan begins by immediately questioning the word of Elohim. Did Elohim really say that? Verse 2, the woman said to the serpent, From the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat. This part of the answer in this verse from Isha is correct. In verse 3, but from the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, Elohim has said, You shall not eat from it, nor touch it, lest you will die. The woman Isha continues with the rest of Elohim's command with a modification that is not in Genesis chapter 2, verse 17. Elohim did not include as part of his commandment to Adam to not touch the tree of knowledge of good and evil, unless they would die. The commandment stated that they were not to eat from this tree, lest they would die. Verse 4, the serpent said to the woman, You surely will not die. A blatant lie comes straight from the serpent's or Satan's mouth. You surely will not die. The scripture teaches that the devil is the father of all lies. In this verse, John 8:44, Jesus is speaking to the Jews. You are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. This verse from John 8:44 shed some light on what was to happen to Adam and Isha, the woman. They were lied to, and Isha was deceived to fall into sin and die, as the process of dying and aging begins right away for both of them. This verse calls Satan a murderer from the beginning. Satan not only told the first lie to mankind, but he also became the first murderer of all mankind through deception. That's because we are all descended from Adam and Eve. We are all to die. That is all of us. So don't get any ideas that Satan is someone to fool with or give any degree of respect. Verse 5, For Elohim knows that in the day you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like Elohim, knowing good and evil. Now, Satan is appealing to the individual will of Isha. She and Adam are created in the image and likeness of Elohim. This temptation is to become like Elohim with eyes open, knowing good and evil as gods. At least Satan is correct when he says that Elohim knows when she eats from this tree that her eyes will be opened and she would be like Elohim, knowing good and evil. And this is substantiated in Genesis 3:22. Guess what? They didn't become gods, and for that matter, neither did Satan from what he did. Next is the scripture that tells us about the first sin that comes from Satan. Satan was originally called Lucifer. He was the angel of light. and he declared that he wanted to be like Elohim. This comes from Isaiah 14. How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you are cut down to the ground. You who weakened the nations, for you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation. On the farthest sides of the north, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. There are a lot of I wills in this passage from Isaiah 14. Satan failed, was stopped, and was cast out of heaven. He is defeated when Yeshua is nailed on the cross, who says in John 19:30, it is finished. And our and his Abba, that's the Father, raises him from the dead on the third day. And now Satan wants to entice Isha and Adam to fall in his failing footsteps. He is seeking vengeance against God, stopping him and casting him out of heaven. Adam and Isha, along with all their descendants, that's us, will suffer and die. This includes all the rest of Elohim's perfect creation. Remember, Adam and Eve both were given dominion over all creation. All of creation will be placed under the curse. Look what happens here. Future generations, us. Psalm 51:5, Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. That started with the very first offspring of Adam and Eve. Coming later, we will see that in chapter 4. Chapter 3, verse 6, When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took from its fruit and ate, and she gave also to her husband with her, and he ate. They both listened to the serpent. In particular, Isha was convinced or deceived that the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil was not any different than the rest that they had been commanded to eat, and why not eat it, she thinks. While this particular fruit may not have been any different from the rest of the normal fruit in the garden, it was just eating from this tree that was forbidden by Elohim. The fruit of the tree of life was different from normal fruit. Adam, the observer of what Isha was doing, follows in Isha's footsteps. Maybe it is possible that Adam saw immediate change in his wife and felt he would be left behind. Oh well, look what you have done. I guess I'll have to do the same. Is this real love? And some speculation there on my part. 1 Timothy 2:14, we see the difference in the two. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived fell into transgression. Please don't accuse Isha for everything and say that it was just her fault for the fall of man. Adam did exactly as she did. They both committed sin. It would appear that Adam already knew exactly what he was getting into. He was an observer while Isha ate of the fruit before he ate it. And they were both to be kicked out of the garden and were on schedule to die. We'll see more on that later in this chapter. Apparently, both Adam and Isha chose to ignore what evil was really like and the consequences of sin. They certainly had experienced fellowship in the love of Elohim. Did they regard Elohim as the all-powerful creator involved in their lives? Did they appreciate how Elohim loved them and cared for them? There is evidence they repented because their sins are covered in verse 21. They were to have no concept of how much misery and suffering their simple act of disobedience was to cause for not only to them, but to all of their offspring, the rest of the world. Remember, we all descended from Adam and Isha. Verse 20 is coming up. You'll see that. Chapter 3, verse 7. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed leaves of fig tree together and made for them loin coverings. Adam and Isha got their wish. They got their eyes open. They had thought up to this point they were to be gods and could get a revelation of all this mysterious good and evil. They actually became nothing but evil, for the good that they had vanished. This must have been an extreme shock to both of them, for they knew what they had done immediately. Why? They knew they were naked and attempted to cover their sin and vulnerability. It is as if they were suddenly exposed, dirty, and guilty. Please notice that the covering they were using was fig leaves. This will change to something very substantial in verse 21. We as fallen men are all evil in the sight of Elohim, even though he still loves us. However, we have the plan of salvation and the propitiation of sin available. This will be first revealed in Genesis 3:15 and 21. This is where the gospel started, in the Garden of Eden. Do you see anywhere in this section of Scripture that Elohim forced them to disobey him? Did Elohim deceive them in any way? Was Elohim very clear what would happen to them if they disobeyed? This is a classic first case of man's will creating his own demise to commit sin, to become independent from Elohim and go his own way. Isaiah 53:6. All we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Let's see what Elohim is going to do with his children in the perfect Garden of Eden. Verse 8. They heard the voice of Yahweh Elohim walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of Yahweh Elohim among the trees of the garden. How can Yahweh Elohim have a voice like a man and be walking around? Is this the pre-incarnate Yeshua or Christ? 9. Then Yahweh Elohim called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" Elohim already foreknew what happened. In Job 21:22, "Shall any teach God knowledge, seeing he judges those that are high?" Elohim was calling for Adam in order to have fellowship with him. I believe that Elohim had sessions of fellowship with Adam and Eve on a regular basis. Elohim already knew what had happened with his image-created nephesh. Verse 10, "And he said, 'I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid myself.'" Adam's fear went with him being naked. What a contrast to Genesis 2:25 that says they were naked and not ashamed. And he tells Elohim that he had to hide himself from him because of nudity. They hid themselves like cowards. At least you can be encouraged that they will acknowledge that they had sinned. Many people don't realize we are willing, ignorant, or won't admit to their sin. We all have the tendency to avoid admitting to our errors and refuse to face up to accountability. They were afraid of Yahweh Elohim. Yahweh Elohim never wanted his Adam and Isha to be fearful of him. The same thing with us today. He demands worship and love from us, but that doesn't mean that we should be afraid of him. This attempt to hide from Elohim, as Adam and Isha were trying to do, is the last thing he wants. Trying to hide from Elohim and his love and justice doesn't excuse anyone of any sin they may have committed. He wants each of us to confess our sins and seek forgiveness. Of course, forgiveness of our sins is always available if we accept Yeshua as Yahweh Elohim. 1 John 1:9, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Verse 11, "And he said, 'Who told you that you were naked? From the tree of which I commanded you not to eat from it, have you eaten?'" Just where did Adam get this idea of being naked? From Satan, or is it a natural thing for a fallen person to relate nudity with sin, or a lack of protection, or an unwanted openness? All, I think. Unfortunately, some today don't regard nudity as sinful in this fallen world. Verse 12, "The man said, 'The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave to me from the tree, and I ate.'" Adam's first words were that Isha, "that you gave to be with me." This sounds to me like a double slap in the face. This is a combination of blaming Elohim and talking bad about his wife in a few short words. Verse 13, "And Yahweh Elohim said to the woman, 'What is this you have done?' And the woman said, 'The serpent deceived me, and I ate.'" Okay, now let's ask the issue about her role in this crime. A revealing answer from a guilty person is to always try to blame someone else in order to divert attention from oneself to another person, to Satan, from the woman in this case. At least she admitted that the serpent deceived her, along with the fact that she ate, like her husband admitted as well. I am not entirely sure that either one of them were completely aware of the severity of what they had done at this point. This is human nature, downplay the severity of what they did and or blame someone else. To me, it sounds the same here with the interview that Elohim is conducting with Adam and Esha. I am positive that later on they will grow to regret more and more what they had done, especially when Cain, their first son, murders Abel, their son, in Genesis chapter 4. The first human murder by another human is one of the main subjects of the account in Genesis chapter 4. This account in chapter 4 is the first historical account of any human dying. The deaths of Adam and Esha are later, much later, or close to a millennium for Adam. Not only will the future loss of a firstborn, which is in chapter 4, will reveal to Adam and Esha more about the severity of their sin, they are right now to lose the garden along with dying. Just think, they were on schedule to live forever. Just not satisfied with everything. Just have to dare to do wrong and have to have my own way. This is exactly the way we all act today. I don't want to sound overly negative or condemning, but so many of us don't take sin seriously enough. Oh yes, it becomes sin to us when someone else harms us, but what about our own harm we dish out to others knowingly or unknowingly? This is the result of what our world has become because of our first ancestors did. Elohim hates sin. I was not always taking sin seriously enough in my life and still can fail. Many people today reject or ignore the account of the fall of man in Genesis and don't genuinely understand the origin of sin. This is what King David said about sin from Psalm 41:4. I said, Lord, be merciful to me. Heal my soul, for I have sinned against you. Verse 14. Yahweh Elohim said to the serpent, because you have done this, cursed are you more than all cattle and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you will go, and dust you will eat all the days of your life. It is the serpent's turn. Elohim is still teaching us that this is a serpent, and we are not going to attempt to speculate beyond what this verse is saying as to what this serpent creature was originally. Satan could have incarnated this creature. The fact is that Satan deceived Esha into disobeying Elohim, and she and Adam together committed the first sins. With all that said, what happened to this serpent? He is cursed more than all cattle and more than every beast of the field. And now I believe that this serpent creature was originally different from a snake, possibly, that we have today, and was able to walk because Elohim caused the serpent to crawl on its belly and eat dust. Verse 15, and I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise you on the head, and you shall bruise him on the heel. This is the prophecy straight out of Elohim's mouth about the coming of Jesus some 4,000 years later. Realize, since we are descended from Adam and Esha, this verse 20, what's coming up, this verse is a statement right out of the genealogy of Adam to Christ. This genealogy is divinely inspired and correct. More than likely, Adam and Esha could not possibly have known who this conqueror of Satan and sin is, just that it would be one of their descendants. This word enmity means we, as believers, are in this fight as well. Satan will be defeated and will be accompanied with his fallen angels and ultimately cast into the lake of fire. You'll see that in Revelation. Here are some further ideas on the subject of the defeat of Satan. Crawling on its belly is one thing. Satan is placed at odds with the offspring of the mother of all living. This is Halva. As I just said, Esha is our original mother ancestor, and this is the start of the lineage with Adam to Yeshua, which is Christ, that is to be nailed on the cross for our sins. Since this is a procreated descendant of Esha, maybe she thinks he will be a son of hers. Jesus Christ comes to earth some 4,000 years later, so it cannot be her immediate son. Of course she doesn't know that. Seed is mentioned for the serpent also, and this refers to his followers that like to accompany him to the lake of fire. Satan is bruised on the head, indicating a fatal wound, but Yeshua is only bruised on his heel, a less serious wound. Verse 16, to the woman he said, I will greatly multiply your pain in childbirth. In pain you will bring forth children, yet your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you. Elohim had already confronted Adam first, Esha second, and the serpent third, and now backs up to confront Esha again to explain what has to happen to her due to her disobedience. Childbirth is painful, giving birth to those born in iniquity, and she has a desire for her husband. Her husband will rule over her. I see this as a spiritual rule. Adam and his male descendants would be the spiritual rulers of each family unit. And this is not to mean that the woman can't perform the same as men do in many of the responsibilities of life. This is not a question of the capabilities of either male or female in survival situations or in managing details of everyday life, with one being better than the other. Womankind can also direct spiritual matters. It is that the male has to take the responsibility of guiding matters based on spiritual wisdom. Many men and women as well in society have abdicated this responsibility, and the family unit suffers every time. Some women have had to take spiritual matters into their own hands, and that is why we see more women and sometimes in church services. Adam was to protect Isha and to provide for her as well. Verse 17, "Then to Adam he said, because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree about which I commanded you, saying you shall not eat from it, cursed is the ground because of you. In toil you will eat of it all the days of your life." To Adam he has to survive by working the cursed ground. There will be no more perfect quality food as they had in the Garden of Eden. 18, "Both thorns and thistles it shall grow for you, and you will eat the plants of the field." This verse gives details of how they expect to eat. Note that Adam will have to compete with thorns and thistles and will have diminished results and success trying to grow food. Plants of the field indicates that they are to still eat vegetables, not meat, and will have to grow their own food with much labor. Mankind did not have permission to start eating meat until after the global flood, as recorded in Genesis chapter 9, verses 3 and 4. Verse 19, "By the sweat of your face you will eat bread till you return to the ground, because from it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return." The labor that is to be required in order to eat causes Adam and his descendants to sweat and be sore and tired. His descendants are us, remember. He will eat from the field until death, or ground, and will be at the end of his life, he will again become dust. After reading verses 18 and 19, you should be aware that the earth is to be cursed, along with mankind. All living on the earth are cursed, including the very earth itself. Remember Elohim's commandment to Adam and Isha, what would happen if they eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? They would die. Entropy now plays a stronger role in the deaths and decay that will follow and will continue until Yeshua Christ, Jesus Christ, returns and reestablishes perfection and renews the earth like it was prior to the fall of man. The fall of man has caused Elohim to lessen his control on a no longer perfect creation. Verse 20, "Now the man called his wife's name Halva," her original name is Halva, "because she was the mother of all the living." This verse says that everything else living to be descended in the future will come from her. We all have descended from two persons. Many misuse the term race for mankind. There is no such a thing as races of humans. We just read that Eve was the mother of all living. Different ethnic groups with different appearances result from Adam and Eve, and some creationists have proposed, based on knowledge of DNA, especially perfect DNA as Adam and Eve originally had, that Adam and Eve's skin color could have been brown, neither black or white, as we say today. Black, brown, red, yellow, white, all descended from Adam and Eve. I agree we all have ethnicity in different cultures, but we should not use the word race ever. That is almost akin to saying that we have different kinds, as to the word kind used in creation. And some go as far to say species for humans. We do not have species or kinds of humans, even though we say mankind, and I have used that term as well. Species and kinds are not biblical words for the creation of man, and leave those words for the rest of God's creation for other forms of life under the kind category, and the species are below each kind. We humans are special and very different from all the rest of God's creation, since we are created in His image and likeness, even though we share biological similarities in order to occupy the world. Just think, if mankind had simply paid attention to all these areas of Scripture all alone, how we possibly could have avoided so much suppression and bloodshed throughout centuries. We have a major problem in this area of asserting superiority over others that are different, and the word races is used. What is your race? I am asked at the doctor's office while filling out forms. Maybe I could say the human race, but I still don't like that word. And then the person or persons that developed the form had the audacity to ask Latins for their ethnicity of all things, separating them out from all the rest with a different numbered question. I am sorry, but that sounds like Aryan stupidity, like the Nazis tried to impose, which also came from Charles Darwin as well. Favored races. That's part of the title of his book. I am not a member of a suppressed minority. Quite the opposite. But I can certainly read and believe God's holy word. We don't need to make second-class citizens out of anyone, so-called race, especially not the Jews. And don't forget that Jesus is a Jew and our Savior and Lord, who forgives sins and takes believers in Him with Him to paradise, just like the thief on the cross. Let's look at that in Luke 23:39 through 43. One of the criminals who were hanged railed at Him, saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked Him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." And He said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." The final verse is 43, and He said to him, "Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." That thief on the cross admitted his sin and asked for help from Jesus the Savior. Verse 21, Yahweh Elohim made garments of skin for Adam and for his wife and clothed them. This is a very significant verse. In verse 21, we see the first account of anything dying. Yahweh Elohim has not stated the death of anything until now. Yahweh Elohim takes the life of an animal or animals and uses the skin to cover the sin of Adam and Isha. This is where clothes originated. This is the blood sacrifice covering for sin. Yahshua is the final sacrifice for our sins. He is also referred to as Yahweh. We should have made that clear before. It's part of the Trinity. The ritual of sacrifice the Jews have practiced originated from this first sacrifice that Elohim made for Adam and Isha. And it's Halva, we should be saying that. Look back at the promise of the Savior in verse 15 and put it together with this verse. Verse 15 says that Satan along with sin are conquered, and now we see the blood sacrifice covering sin, all to be accomplished by the sacrifice of Jesus. How can we ignore so great a thing, so great a free gift? If death had occurred before the fall of man, the sacrifice for sin becomes meaningless. The redemption that we have from sin is also rendered useless. Christ's death and burial would have been a complete failure. The resurrection could not have occurred. Verse 21 is the first account of any death of any living creature that has. The Hebrew word is nephesh. A nephesh haya, to be exact. That is a living creature. Even the atheists, I might add this, some of the atheists have understood this, just what I just read. The sacrifice for sin becomes meaningless. The redemption is also rendered useless. Christ's death and burial would have been a complete failure. The resurrection maybe could not have occurred. You know, even they'll possibly say that, the ones that are really know what they believe in. I mean, that's one thing. Do you believe this? Do you know what you believe in? That's the key to it. Take God as His word. Straightforward reading is what we're doing. Verse 22. Then Yahweh Elohim said, "Behold, the man has become like one of us, knowing good and evil. And now, lest he might stretch out his hand and take also from the tree of life and eat and live forever." The knowledge of good and evil comes via the disobedience of Adam and Hawa. They will be expelled from the Garden of Eden in the next verse. In Genesis 2:9, remember we saw that both the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil were planted in the Garden of Eden. Adam and Hawa could not be allowed to eat from the tree of life and live forever in their fallen state. They were already sentenced to die someday. Verse 23, therefore Yahweh Elohim sent him out from the Garden of Eden to cultivate the ground from which he was taken. In order to prohibit access of Adam and Hawa to the tree of life, they had to leave the Garden of Eden. Adam was no longer allowed to cultivate the Garden of Eden, as we saw in Genesis 2:15, but is to cultivate the Ha'adama, which is the ground. And outside of there, he will toil with the sweat on his face, with thorns and thistles to compete with his efforts. The beginnings of an imperfect, fallen, and sinful world, just like we experience today, even worse. Wait till you have a chance to study the global flood. And notice I said global in chapters 6 through 9. Verse 24. So he drove the man out, and at the east of the Garden of Eden he stationed the cherubim and the flaming sword, which turned every direction to guard the way to the tree of life. To keep Adam out of the Garden of Eden, Elohim put these cherubim, they're angels, interestingly enough, at the east of the garden. And so where is the Garden of Eden today? We have no idea. The consequences of the original sin in the Garden of Eden for us as descendants of Adam and Eve are explained in this verse from the Psalms. In Psalms 51:5, behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Every person alive today, that means that our children and we today are born without any concept of what is right or wrong. There is a document on the web titled, I is for Innate Infant Iniquity. Minnesota Crime Commission Report of 1926. I is for Innate Infant Iniquity. There is a lot of wisdom in this report. I have a couple of verses afterward. In 1926, the Minnesota Crime Commission declared, every baby starts life as a little savage. He is completely selfish and self-centered. He wants what he wants when he wants it. His bottle, his mother's attention, his playmate's toys, his uncle's watch, or whatever. Deny him these, and he seethes with rage and aggressiveness, which would be murderous were he not so helpless. He's dirty, he has no morals, no knowledge, no developed skills. And this means that all children, not just certain children, but all children are born delinquent. If permitted to continue in their self-centered world of infancy, given free rein to their impulsive actions to satisfy each want, every child would grow up a criminal, a thief, a killer, a rapist. This is printed in the Journal of the American Institute of Criminal Law and Criminality, 18, number 1, May 1927, as written in the Minnesota Crime Commission Report of 1926, which was commissioned by then Governor Theodore Christensen. Romans 5:12 through 14. This is titled Death in Adam, Life in Christ. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. For sin indeed was in the world before the law was given, but sin is not counted where there is no law. Yet death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sinning was not like the transgression of Adam, who was a type of the one who was to come. Psalms 51:5, behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. I had also mentioned that Adam is the first man. We see that in the creation account. And there are verses to substantiate that Christ is called the last Adam. And the reason for that is because sin came into the world, as we just read, via Adam, and the last Adam is to take sin out of the world through salvation. Thank you. After all this studying about the fall of man, now how about this promise for us as believers in Christ? 1 John 3:2, Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared, but we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, because we shall see Him as He is. That is a fantastic promise. That is a fantastic thing we have to look forward to as believers in Christ. No other religion, nobody else says it other than true Christianity. 1 John 3:2. I want to read it again because this is significant. We talk about the beginnings. We're studying Genesis in the beginning. And we're talking about the fall of man here, a very negative thing, and about sin and all that. But just look at this. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, because we shall see Him as He is. Now, what did Satan want to do? He wanted to be like God, or he wanted to be God. What did Eve say she wanted to do? She wanted to be like Elohim, God, or she wanted to be like Him. And then did it say that the God, the Trinity, did He also say that man is like us? And so He got kicked out of the garden because of that. But this is the promise for us as believers in Christ. I would take this very seriously because you can study the gospel later. You can study the verses that come up. Thank you for listening.